Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 28, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter the 28th of May 2019. The quality of bestowal means to rejoice at the darkness as much as at the light, for it is the most important greatness of the Creator. When one finds himself in a situation with no support, feels the darkness, if he accepts it with joy, it turns into Keter, bestowal, light. Why was it needed to break the desire only to correct it later? Revelation of the breakage is in realizing that the uncorrected state never existed, but only seems so to an uncorrected person. Thus, the correction is only of our perception. In any state, even the high one, if one is looking for further advancement, his search causes a correction, an ascent without the fall. Thus, without waiting for it from above, as if for a fall, one can do it himself, find the flaws and raise them to the correction toward bestowal. Any good is manifested only from evil, like the light from the darkness. Darkness, the evil, is manifested first, and then comes the light, the Creator. All the spiritual work is in bringing forth the good from the evil. This is how man gives contentment to the Creator. Therefore, perfection is in the right connection of darkness and light, in full light. The Creator made all kinds of darkness in order to manifest the light through them. A day is considered to be darkness and light, night and day. Night is the light without corrections, therefore it is not visible to creatures, but it is clear that it requires correction, the help of the Creator, the light of correction. And darkness itself becomes light. The great means for our perception is the darkness, about which it is said, I created the darkness, and saw the darkness. The weakening sensation of light is felt by us like darkness. And it helps us to perceive the light, the feeling of light out of darkness. All the attainment of light comes only out of the darkness. Every person is equal to everyone else, be it a sage or a commoner, everyone is equal in the general system. There are different souls in the system during the time of correction, each must be evaluated according to his degree. But when the process of correction is complete, in the perfect state, all souls are equal. Serving the Creator can only happen in darkness. Darkness is a wonderful quality that propels me toward the Creator, does not leave me in peace. To the extent that one elevates the Creator in his own eyes, so does he rise above his inherent evil. Independence from our nature. A man is born and exists in this world in order to achieve independence from his nature, to break away from the inanimate level, from the desire to enjoy, and to build the form opposite to it. This means becoming independent from the previous stage. The next step does not exist in its completed form so that you could see, study, and take an example from it. We have no one to imitate, we can only aspire to the opposite properties and in this way build the next step. Each time desires and thoughts change and grow, and a person can work on building oneself independent of them. One develops more and more at the animate level, one is no longer a simple animal one was born as, but egoism, the evil inclination, becomes increasingly apparent in him. But evil was created in order to build the opposite over it, the spiritual level, a good inclination, a man, Adam. The human level is characterized by the fact that it requires connection with others, unlike the animate level at which everyone feels increasingly isolated and distant from others. At the same time, at the animate level, it seems that by moving away from everyone, one attains independence. But to build myself on the human level, I need to nullify myself and connect with everyone. One wonders, where is independence here? On the contrary, I neglect myself for the sake of others. This is absolutely the opposite. We need to realize how insignificant the animalistic independence we strive to through the call of nature is. And independence at the level of a man is the aspiration to fulfill the instructions of the upper force. We build our similarity to the upper one to the extent we can rise above our animal nature. It is written, the Creator saves humans and animals alike. Both these levels rise, supporting each other, and together they build independence from nature, from the desire to enjoy. In this way, we reach the goal of creation for which the Creator created everything with an egoistic desire so that we can build the level of man, Adam, similar to the Creator, above it in adhesion, mutual support, connection of all the desires. Everything Baha'u'llah said about the people of Israel almost 100 years ago is still relevant today. We really are like nuts in a bag because we are forced to hold together due to the influence of external negative forces. No one knows the great mission of these people, which still must be revealed. Therefore, we envy all other nations' undisputed right to exist on their land. But the Jews are a special people toward which no other peoples of the world have a positive attitude. This is a special phenomenon. And the people of Israel themselves are not able to unite in a natural way, and they feel in a separation. Even non-Jews in whom the point in the heart, the desire to unite with the upper force that leads them to the study of Kabbalah has awakened, also reveal how different and remote from each other they are. They have no desire to get close to others. It does not matter what nation they belong to in the corporeal world, but as soon as they unite in a group that is engaged in spiritual advancement, they immediately become similar to the people of Israel. They feel just as divided. Each group is like a bag of nuts that grind in friction against each other and do not want to connect. This is a manifestation of the same nature, both in the people of Israel and in Kabbalistic groups around the world that want to approach the Creator. From this, it is clear that Jews are not a people, but a group of Kabbalists that existed in the past. Once, they were on a spiritual level and were able to overcome separation and unite, then they fell from this height and now exist in the opposite form. It is necessary to study our spiritual state from its opposite form that exists today. After all, the further we develop and try to be together, the less we succeed in it. But we must rejoice that the evil, our true nature, is revealed. This nature is not ordinary, it is much worse than that of all other nations because it comes from the shattering. All others have a regular animalistic nature and strive for the material well-being of their bodies. But the people of Israel, trying to unite and studying Kabbalah, consciously or unconsciously awaken the upper light that reforms, thus revealing the shattering, the lack of unity and spirituality. Therefore, anti-spiritual qualities opposite to the Creator are revealed in us. It is necessary to clarify and understand them and to treat them with great respect because it is above these consequences of shattering, corruption, and rejecting spirituality and unity that we need to build a corrected state. All these states which are opposite to unity and correction, as well as those supporting unity, belong to the human stage. Therefore, we need to appreciate them and work on them. Correction relates only to the human level, it requires us to unite and to converge in our opinions and sensations. Although no one relinquishes their opinions and feelings, the connection takes place above them, as one person with one heart, like in the first person called Adam HaRishon. The last, the finally corrected person will be the same. The revelation of the past shattering indicates a future correction. Therefore, today we are a special group, new people, people of the Creator, who are trying to raise themselves from the dust. There are people, that is, such a desire to enjoy, which are united at the animal level. They feel intimacy and understanding according to their corporeal properties, and therefore, they feel good together. Everyone feels that it is worth relating to this group, to his people. There are 70 such nations of the world, groups, each of which has its own spirit, extent of unity, level of existence, character, and physical genes. People naturally feel that they belong to one of those groups. Even if hatred between them appears, it is purely corporeal and has nothing to do with spirituality. But at the same time, there may be a group at a higher level, which exists due to a connection for a special goal. This goal is not natural, it is above the corporeal nature, It is to connect above one's egoism. Here, two opposites combine. On one hand, there is a negative connection between them because no one feels obligated to this group and connected to it. But on the other hand, they are united by an artificially set goal. A common goal creates a common space for them because only by joining together can they achieve this sublime higher goal. Then they will be called a special people, not according to the corporeal DNA, but according to the spiritual genes, reshimut, awakening in them. Such a group that reaches a new type of connection in contrast to their natural corporeal disunity is called the people of Israel, Israel, because it wants to become similar to the Creator, Yasharel, the upper force. It possesses a new nature, a new essence. From generation to generation, it has been trying to attain the upper force, creating a methodology for this, and establishing traditions in accordance with the upper force, like holidays, special days, and physical commandments according to its spiritual attainment. That is, the union is formed according to spiritual laws. A group of people that establishes laws and traditions for itself according to the upper source appears in history. Every nation has its own traditions, but the traditions of the people of Israel correspond to spiritual steps, either achieved in the past, or marked for the future as a sign for the sons. These traditions remind a person of the spiritual levels that he or she is to achieve. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, May 9, 2019, Independence Day. A lesson from the Holocaust. Holocaust Remembrance Day is a special, very sad day in the history of the Jewish people and all of mankind, since we are all connected with each other. On this day, we need to talk about the causes of this tragedy and its lessons so that the deeds of the fathers will become a sign for the sons. There is nothing except the upper force that is good and does good, it governs us all the time. There is no action beyond this good governance. Therefore, if in our research we do not rise above our egoistic nature and instead we begin to condemn the Creator, doubting His good governance, we will be mistaken. In this case, our entire research will not bring any benefit and will lead us back to the same bitter reality, which we must talk about today. The Creator feels what we feel. If we are united and happy about it, the Creator rejoices. He has no personal feelings, He is within us, like a mother who lives inside her beloved baby. Through our connection, we create a place for the Creator where He can exist. If we are not connected, then there is no place for the Creator and we feel His actions in the inverse form, as if they are not coming from Him. Every action is experienced in us according to the extent of our connection or disconnection. The Creator lives inside of our connection with each other. This connection should develop all the time, starting from the first shattering caused by the Creator until the final correction, until complete adhesion. As long as we are not behind in our advancement in the stages of correction that we must undergo, we are all right. However, if we fall behind, we find ourselves in a bad state that we ourselves have caused. If at every moment we do not correct the connection between us, we feel the difference between the desired and the actual states. Let's say that today I should have been corrected by 20% in my connection with all of humanity, but I have reached only 15% of the connection. Therefore, -5% is revealed to me as pressure and problems. In fact, these are forces that are intended to accelerate my advancement in order to make up for the delay, to extinguish the difference between the desired and the actual. These forces do not indicate the goodness or the evil of the Creator, but are simply a natural consequence of the system's operation. As it is written, the law is given and cannot be transgressed. That is, we should evaluate not how much pain or pleasure we feel, but how much these forces that are revealed to us as good or evil help us to advance correctly. The Creator does not wish us harm, but there is a law of nature. By fulfilling it, we feel our connection, and by breaking it, we feel pain, and today it is to such an extent that we must remember the Holocaust, the saddest event in the history of the Jewish people. Of course, it was caused not by the Creator but by people who had to correct the connection between them and did not. The delay in correction was so great that it resulted in terrible suffering. What lessons can we learn from this? From ancient Babylon to the present day, there were many such sad events, and all for one reason. Since the Creator is the general law of nature, the system shows us the need for connection. But we do not listen to it and are not in a hurry to eliminate the delay, and we receive the corresponding consequences. In fact, we ourselves cause them and we cannot blame the Creator. There are conditions known to us, but we do not fulfill them and by doing so, we draw upon ourselves forces that push us to the goal more firmly and resolutely. Throughout history we have been plagued by pressures and problems, exiles, Egyptian slavery, the desert, the destruction of the temple. Yet, the Holocaust is a very different state. The people of Israel in their historical development have already reached the need for the fourth degree of connection in the soul of Adam HaRishon, but have not implemented it. Today, we are also not fulfilling this goal, so what can we expect? We can only expect even worse states than before. We have to learn from history so that we do not to repeat the same states. After Babylon and Egypt, we have been plagued by blow after blow every moment we have not established mutual connection in the required measure. The punishment will be collective, to all the people of Israel. Today we are responsible not only for ourselves, but for the entire world. Once, it was possible to make a correction in a limited group, the European Jewry. The Nazis themselves wanted to help the Jews rebuild the state of Israel. At first, they acted as forces helping the correction. However, if we do not use the chance given to us, these forces turn into negative ones. Today as well, if we do not use the awakening forces that are already acting negatively, they will turn into much more terrible ones than before. Today's Holocaust will be on a different scale, not only in Europe, but all over the world. Therefore, it is worthwhile to understand this and to hurry up with the correction before it becomes too late. If we connect, the upper force passes through us to all the nations of the world, to all of reality, and gradually the whole world attains unity. Then everything calms down and the Creator begins to reveal Himself to the created beings, and the world reaches the intended correction. However, if we, the people of Israel, do not connect between ourselves at least within Israel where we have the best conditions for connection, if we do not become one man with one heart, do not love our neighbor as ourselves, do not become the light for the nations of the world by showing them an example of unity, then we will go through such horrible states that will make the Holocaust pale in comparison to merits turn into debts and debts into merits. Therefore, we must believe that now we have the opportunity, time, place, and all the means not to repeat the mistake made by the Jews almost 100 years ago. We must not miss the opportunity to connect between us in order to be in contact with the upper force, which is good and does good, and that through us, this force that wants to appear to all the inhabitants of this world, will be able to reveal itself. We must help it with this and become a conduit between it and humanity. Let's not repeat past mistakes. The wisdom of Kabbalah talks about the laws of nature that do not depend on whether they are pleasant or unpleasant to us and do not take into account someone's political or economic interests. There is no doubt that if the Jews behaved differently back then, the world today would look completely different. Everything is in our hands and we determine our fate and the fate of the entire world. The law of nature is an immutable law that must be fulfilled. The Creator does not pity or punish us, but fulfills the general law. The Creator is nature, and according to the program of nature, we must connect in one desire, in one intention, according to one formula of mutual bestowal. We must bring this connection to the world, this is our mission. Let us not repeat the bitter mistakes and let us try on this sad day to take upon ourselves the responsibility to bring the world to unity. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson, May 2nd, 2019, Holocaust Remembrance Day. New Life Number 1087. Education for a Change in Human Nature.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. Today we'd like to talk about how can we make this world a better place? How can we make more advanced creatures out of ourselves that will be motivated not only out of the desire to do good to ourselves, but also to do good to others, from the understanding that we're all a part of one big body? Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, on our previous shows, we talked about how can we make better people out of ourselves, and we understood that all in all, our nature is evil. We see the results of this in all realms of society. We can especially see it in children. We see that we want to rule, we want to control. We see that evil is really contagious. Any group of children really enhance evil or bad behavior. And the tools that we have in order to deal with this aren't necessarily the correct tools, because maybe they simply prevent a child from expressing what's really inside of them without correcting it. So today we'd like to better understand how can we change the inner nature that exists in children and ourselves, and what is that method of education that the wisdom of Kabbalah offers. So I'd like to ask, what should be the result of correct education? What kind of image, what kind of child should we see at the end or as a result of this education? It's not simple to explain, because we're so used to living in our egoistic nature, and our entire education is either in order to give some kind of reward or punishment by which to limit our egoistic nature. And it exists this way. Therefore, we have a legal system, we have other systems by which we can awaken a person, elevate him a bit in the eyes of the public. We use his inclinations that he doesn't want to be shamed by the environment, or to the contrary, he wants to look good in their eyes. And we use these things. But all these things are insufficient because our ego is constantly growing, and therefore we have to invent a greater reward and greater punishments for people in order to somehow keep them within some kind of boundaries, in such relations that it'll pay off for a person to be someone that at least doesn't harm others and maybe even is somehow beneficial. That's something that we don't really see. I can say that at least today in education, the field of education, there is an understanding that threats and reward and punishment isn't the preferable thing, but to find out what is the child's need, why does he behave the way that he does, maybe we can meet some of his needs, to talk about it, and it's not simple. It's not simple because it won't work. It won't work because this is our nature. Again, if I want to enjoy, if my nature is to receive pleasure, and in my egoistic desire, what I enjoy is being better than everyone, greater, richer, smarter, and power, and so on. You can really see it on children. So, what can I do? What kind of compensation can I get instead of being great and rich and smart and powerful and famous and so on? How's that possible? We see the struggles they have in class. Queen of the class, king of the class. Obviously. And it's only getting worse. Of course, because the ego is growing. And therefore, we see no way of how to cope with it. And we'd give up altogether. You know, we'd as if do something, even though that it's obvious that we can't cope with man's nature that's becoming ever more evil. There's nothing you can do about it. But there is a kind of education here presented to us by the wisdom of Kabbalah that says that, yes, it is possible to treat human nature, to even change it from one end to the other, that instead of a person by nature wanting to overpower others, that by these different forms of overpowering, a person will feel in his ego that he's greater than others in different ways. It's possible to make it so that he'll see the correct reward, the correct pleasure in connecting with others, helping others, supporting others, and feeling pleasure in that. How do you do it? It's science fiction. It's not something that exists in this world. We don't see these things. It's as though we have to invert our nature into its very opposite. We try to do it by giving an example, talking about it. No, no. There's no point in talking about that. The way things ordinarily are in our life in this world, there's no way to do it. There's just one thing that the wisdom of Kabbalah uses because it has the ability to draw a special force that exists in nature. This is a hidden force. It's concealed. And when we pull this force upon ourselves, it changes us. It really inverts us. That instead of treating others badly, we treat others in a good way. How's that possible? That's how it is. Why? Because. How? In what way? By this education. What do we do? We need what's called to draw the reforming light, meaning to draw a force that will change us from the bad egoistic nature to a good altruistic nature. And this is exactly what the entire method of education is about. It's an education that suits children and grown-ups, people. We can't use it on animals. By the way, I can say that. So even if we'll all be good, then animals will still eat each other, will harm each other. First of all, they don't harm each other. They do it out of necessity. So it's not called that they have an evil inclination. It's simply their nature. Their nature will also change according to the changes that will go through on our degree, because we're higher than they are in this entire system, in this chain of desire that operates in everyone. Now the question is, how do we arrange education in such a way that we're willing to derive the good force from nature that will influence each and every one of us, and we'll do good. We'll make our nature good. This is actually what we have to do. Along with it, it's clear that if this is what we'll do, we'll rid the world of all of its troubles and problems entirely, meaning it all depends on education. And this education entirely depends on the wisdom of Kabbalah. How do we realize it, implement it, and really use it in order to influence each and every person? What do we have to do? And so the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that we have to arrange people in small groups. And in these groups, we have to perform different exercises. That these exercises force the participants to start connecting with one another. Start connecting with one another in a way that they feel that they belong to one body, that they have one task, that they're doing exercises, that by these exercises, they come closer to each other. They feel that they depend on each other. They feel that if they'll connect, they will shape for themselves a new degree of existence called the next world, or spirituality. That then, on that degree, they won't be divided by the bodies, but they'll be connected by their inner inclination. And the bodies, they won't separate us, because no one will look at the bodies at all. People will rise above their egos to connection. Why will they do that? In order to avoid problems and troubles, and to truly acquire a good degree called the next world. As it says, you shall see your world in your lifetime. That by that people will come out of all of their limitations, so much so that aside from the reality that we see, they'll start seeing another reality that controls them. And that reality is called the next world. In revealing this reality, they really get rid of all the problems and troubles, especially things that are related to the limitations of time, space, and motion, meaning they stop feeling that there's a certain period of time and that's that, after which you die. They get rid of all the problems of illnesses and problems and that something's lacking and pressures. Anything that we see as negative. And this way, they keep advancing. So much so that in their connection, they acquire such feelings that are above our life. And all that by these kinds of exercises, trainings, where they train to connect between them in tens. What do you mean by tens? A ten is a small group where each of them tries to correct his egoistic desire, that he tries to treat others nicely in a good and nice way, to connect with them in heart and soul, to listen to them, to feel that he's lesser than them, that his ego is lesser than them, and therefore he subordinates himself. He also wants to help them in anything he can. And in that he feels that he's the greatest, that he wants to give them and bestow onto them as the greatest in the world. And as the smallest, he wants to be influenced by them and to receive the good from them. Is it something that you can also do in a society of children? Yes, you have to translate it into smaller, partial actions, discrete actions that they can understand, and if not to understand, then to gradually comply with it, like all children do under the supervision of grown-ups, and then, as a result of them doing and doing and doing, would they have in all of these actions the children and the grown-ups? And when we do these actions, and there are many other exercises that we can go through, there's a list of 20 or more such means that we have to actualize between us and the 10. Suddenly we start feeling. It doesn't suddenly come, but we start feeling, and really it's a very special revelation that I'm changing. Why? Because I'm doing these actions, and so what? Because these actions that we're doing mechanically are in correlation with the good upper system. And therefore, I'm influenced by this good system to the extent to which I want to suit myself to it, even if I don't really want to. I don't really understand it, but I do it. I'm told to, and I do it. Maybe, if it's not children, that afterwards you give them ice cream or chewing gum or something, but grown-up children, the ages of 30 and 40, I pay them a salary. I give them some kind of special medal, some prize. And this is why they do it. It doesn't matter that this is why they do it. They themselves are adapting themselves to that upper force of good that doesn't exist in our world. Our world is entirely bad, and the good force is higher than this world, above this world. And if we try to do good, it works on me, it influences me, but I don't want it. Suppose I want to get paid, and this way I do it. This is called in Hebrew, lo lishma, that I'm doing it in order to get paid, to get some kind of pleasure. Still, I change. Still, I change because I have no choice. Because I can't want to be good if I'm entirely inside my evil nature. So how do we make this change? What result should there be? Only through an instructor that you, as a psychologist, you can learn how to do this and to really succeed. What I understand is that the method of education that comes from this tremendous wisdom of Kabbalah, its goal is to change the foundation of human nature. The essence of this change is that man will start feeling a new desire to benefit others instead of benefiting himself, as every person's egoistic nature forces him to do. A desire to benefit others awakens in him. This desire to benefit others, I understand that it will be a result of a series of exercises in which a group of children will start feeling that they're actually like one body, that they belong to one body, and as a result of belonging to this one body, this desire to benefit the other organs in the body awakens in them. Suppose I arrange them in several tens in a group. I have a kindergarten. Kids, if now you'll play nicely in tens, like I'm telling you to, tomorrow we're going on a field trip. Okay, great. Before tomorrow, today, what does it mean to play nicely? That you'll speak nicely to each other, that you'll want to listen to what your friend says, and you will continue what he says. You'll want to organize, get organized nicely in a 10. You'll want to now play this game where you're greater than everyone by doing good to others. Now, you want to play being lesser than everyone, and therefore you hear what everyone says and you do what everyone in the 10 says. Now, you hug and start feeling yourselves, even if it's children. You're trying to sit that way and hug. Let's now sit and hug and start singing. Even without words, something. Doesn't matter what song. Our car is beautiful and it's green. Fine, children's song. The main thing is to give them a feeling that they're a part of one body, for them to get this gradual impression, inspiration from each other, that I'm inspired by how he is and how he is and how they behave now in a good and nice way. And I also want to, and gradually, artificially, of course, it's not true. By prizes, by tomorrow's field trip, by today's ice cream, we force them to be good children. Good children meaning what? Learn that from him. If you'll really learn that from him, and for that you have to bend yourself, then by that you'll get a reward. Gradually. He has to understand that by overcoming, he gets a reward. That's called, in order to receive a reward. This is what you start with. That's what we all start with, grown-ups too. For grown-ups only, the reward might be not ice cream, but also a field trip, suppose. When I listen to what you're saying, I remember pictures from my childhood, because both my mother, she was a kindergarten teacher, and I think my entire family, they were educators in one way or another. So I remember not only the way I was, but also how children were taken through these processes. And many of the things that you say, of course, they sound wonderful. And these are things that the Ministry of Education is trying to implement for many years now, of course. Now, in previous talks, you also mentioned that the efforts to teach children, to educate them how to become better children, how to treat each other favorably, they'll fail more and more from year to year because man's ego grows from the inside and he doesn't hear these things anymore. Right. So why, if we use the method of education of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it will work? What's the innovation? To give children a reward for good behavior, we're trying to do that today too. Punish them for bad behavior. If we're talking about children, it's very hard for me to talk because there's still no intention that I can demand of a little child, because for him the intention and the action are one and the same. It's like with animals. That animal wants to attack or do something. This is its intention, this is its action. How much effort it takes to tame an animal to do something else than it wants to. So with children it's hard, but with grown-ups it's easier. Because with grown-ups I try to bring them to connection which is above their desire, that they understand that now what they're doing is in order to receive some kind of reward. Now, the reward, I start elevating it all the time to an as if more and more spiritual degree. Meaning what? That I every time explain, each and every day, I add that we're doing more such actions and annulling ourselves toward the environment and other such actions in which a person has to help his environment and to be even lesser than everyone, and to be even greater than everyone, and to further look for that positive force that's supposed to be revealed in the connection between them in the center of the ten. More and more I advance that person toward a state where he understands that this way, if we'll build our society, we'll solve all of our problems, as this terrible dark world is becoming revealed. Besides the positive examples that we give children, like sitting in a circle, listening to each other, should there also be boundaries? Because there's so many things, aggressiveness and things that come out of children, foul language. We all act out good things. And what do we do about the bad things that are revealed in a group of children? We show that it's incorrect, that it's not good. We all point at that and say, that's not good. And each and every child sees that something's happening to him, and that the entire society, all of his 9 friends point and say, what you did or what you said now is incorrect. What? Why? And then every child has to explain, why is it not good? Maybe it's incorrect. Maybe actually that child that did whatever he did, he's actually right. Meaning, we grow. We raise them for them to understand the processes that they're experiencing. Yes, and the main thing for us is that we awaken that force that's supposed to influence them from the depth of nature. How? That's called the reforming light. To the extent to which we want to advance to the true form of the circle, where everyone supports each other, are integrated with one another, everyone's greater than the others, smaller than the others, looking inside the circle for where is that good force that connects us. Let's talk about it, kids. What do you think? What is that good force that exists between us? Does it exist? Is it a kind of a good, soft, nice, pleasant force? How can we form it, tell about it? Let's kind of somehow as if realize it. Can parents also support this kind of process? No. In the meantime, it's better not to connect these two. This is for children, and for grown-ups, they're not far from that. Also, the same exercises, because there's not that much of a difference between them. Because our time's up, last question, please. What is the key principle in this new educational perception that can take a group of children and give them a feeling that they're one body, and as a result to awaken in each of them the desire to benefit others? What is the key principle? The key principle is that there's an upper force that we want to suit ourselves to as much as we can corporeally, to become like it as much as we can, even physically, as much as we can, in words, become like it, and whatever we can, accordingly, it will influence us, and gradually we'll start feeling these changes on ourselves. It's called the reforming light. And this force that you call the upper force or the reforming light, what is its nature? What kind of force is it? Positive. Anti-ego. All of us, our entire world, is in the egoistic desire. Here we're talking about an altruistic force that also exists in nature, only that it's hidden from us. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.